Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you've tuned in today. We would love to hear from you, love to have you be a part of today's broadcast. You can do that if you call quickly, 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and Canada. So if you have a Bible question, something you can't quite understand, maybe a life issue you're dealing with, something at home, at the office, wherever the situation might be, this is a great opportunity to call straight through 844-322-2742 and be a part of the live Basic Gospel broadcast. So call now, because it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We do want to hear from our listeners today. So again, let me give that number, 844-322-2742. We're talking about joy and contentment in the Christian life. I haven't met a person yet on planet Earth who isn't looking for some sense of joy, contentment, peace in their lives. That's what the search is for. That's what people want to find. They think they can find it through wealth. They think they can find it through sex. They think they can find it through relationships or business or whatever it might be. But ultimately, they're looking for genuine joy, contentment, and peace. Well, Paul discovered the secret for that, and the book of Philippians is really kind of the unfolding of that secret. Mm-hmm. It's about rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about recognizing that you are in Christ. I love what he said in chapter 2, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, here's the source of contentment and joy, the fact that you're in Christ, the fact that he loves you, and that's yours day in and day out. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate you from the love of Christ Jesus. So here's how that really came to bear in this quest for contentment and joy for Paul, as he writes about it in chapter 4, starting in verse 10. He says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. So Paul learned a lesson. Whatever situation he found himself in, he learned how to be content in that situation. And I tell you, when you meet people like that, it's just a breath of fresh air. We have a lot of people in this world who grumble, who complain, who are always talking about the negative sides of life. Yeah. And you can just see this restlessness on the inside of them. But occasionally you'll meet people who are genuinely content. It doesn't really matter what they're going through. There's just a joy that exudes from them. Well, where does that come from? It comes from the Lord. They've learned the secret, just like Paul learned the secret, that regardless of the situation, regardless of what he was going through, he was always going through it in Christ and with Christ living in him. So that's the secret to being content. He says, I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. Now, all of us want to abound. All of us want to abound financially. Yeah. We want to abound in all kinds of material blessings. We want to abound and just you name it. We want to abound in it. We don't want to be on the other end of that spectrum. Well, Paul found himself on both ends of that spectrum in his life, and most of his ministry as a missionary, as an apostle, he was on the negative side. I mean, he was going through all kinds of trials and tribulations, facing persecution, facing shipwreck, facing hunger, facing weather and climate elements. I mean, that was Paul's life, and it was tough, but yet he continued through it. Why? Because he knew the secret. He knew how to be content, whether he was low or whether he was abounding in any circumstance. He had learned the secret of facing plenty and of facing hunger, abundance, and need. And this was it. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So Christ is the source. Christ is the source of contentment. Christ is the source of joy. Christ is the source of strength to get us through whatever circumstance that we're in. Now, we've taken this verse, a lot of people have taken this verse, and they've applied it to you know, sporting events, and you see athletes, you know, with this verse on their face or whatever it might be. And, hey, we can go out and win this game. Well, the other team, they're going to have people with that same verse, and somebody's going to lose.
That's
just the way it is. So Paul isn't talking about those sort of things. He's just talking about life. He's just talking about us going through the circumstances of life. Yeah. If we were going to do that on our own, if we were going to try to get through those circumstances through our own understanding, through our own strength, we would be banging our head up against a wall every single time. We would be experiencing frustration, and we would lose hope. But we're not going through these circumstances by ourselves. We're not going through these circumstances in our own strength or through our own understanding. We are going through these circumstances with Christ, and He's the one who strengthens us. He's the one who empowers us. He's the one that gets us through. So in that, whatever life throws your way, you can find contentment. You can experience joy. Why? Because the God of this universe, the one who loves you, the one who gave Himself for you, is right there with you every step of the way.
That is good news, Bob. Thanks for sharing that. And friends, thank you for being here for this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we want you to be a part of the broadcast today. 844-322-2742 is a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada. Give us a call, 844-322-2742. You know, friends, your prayers and gifts are the fuel that keeps Basic Gospel on the air and online. It is impossible to know how many people have been reached, how many people have had their lives changed forever by the love, grace, and life of Jesus Christ because you prayed for and supported Basic Gospel with your gifts. Without you, it wouldn't have happened in past years, and without you, it won't happen as we move forward. That's why we ask you to help us keep the message going. So you can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net and support this message of grace in the Lord Jesus. When you make your gift this month, we'll send you a copy of Bob's four-message series called Stand. It'll reveal how to experience genuine contentment and joy in your Christian life. It's called Stand, as I said, and it's our way of saying thank you for supporting Basic Gospel. Again, donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, once again, the phone number, 844-322-2742. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. Well, Bob, we had this call, or this email question from Joseph. First of all, he says, this ministry is such a blessing to me. Every day at 4 p.m. Eastern, I look forward to hearing and being strengthened in God's love through the good news that I hear on Basic Gospel. So his question, Colossians 1:23 is the central verse. He says, can you give me some insight on this passage, Colossians 1:23, in which Paul says, if they continue in the faith?
Well, that's a wonderful question, and this is a passage that people stumble over, and they wonder, what in the world is Paul talking about? So let me just read it. I'm going to start in verse 21 of Colossians chapter 1. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. So God did something on our behalf in Jesus Christ. This is the ministry of reconciliation that he carried out through his death on the cross. So we were once alienated and hostile in mind toward God, and we were doing evil deeds. That's why we were alienated and hostile. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but God did something to reconcile us. God did something to take away that hostility in our hearts and to bring us together in union, to bring us together in relationships. But that happens by grace through faith. That happens through new birth. That happens through being made new in Jesus Christ. Now, he says all of this is true if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So this if is the stumbling block of this particular verse. It's the one that catches us off guard. So we read this and we think, wait a minute, Paul is putting a condition. We have to continue in the faith. We have to We have to do something to maintain this salvation. We have to do something to keep our salvation secure. Well, that's not what Paul is saying here at all. This letter has a context, and the context of this letter is some problems that were going on in Colossae at the time. There were some very strange doctrines the people were latching onto, and these were philosophies. That's why Paul said in chapter 2, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. So one of the ideas that was floating around that city of the day was asceticism. So they were very harsh on the body. So if we could discipline these bodies of ours, if we could stay away from fleshly indulgences and those sort of things, then we could make ourselves right in God's sight. Well, that's deceitful. That's a lie. That's error. As Paul said in verse 23, these indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgences of the flesh. Do not touch, do not handle, do not taste, does not work as far as God is concerned. So that was on one end of the spectrum, and then there was another group that were saying, hey, you need some superior wisdom. So it was a Gnostic approach. And so what they believed was that spirit is good and matter is evil. That's why they had such a problem with Jesus. How could he be God if he was in human flesh? That would be evil. So they created this superior, quote, superior knowledge that God, when he spoke, there were these different versions, emanations of him. And as it got further and further and further and further and further and further away from God, then it could become flesh. Mm-hmm. So they did not believe that Jesus was God. And so they didn't really buy into the gospel message. So they were believing in this superior wisdom. And so there was this possibility that the folks could hear the gospel and they could respond in a favorable way as far as, with their lips and that sort of thing. But in their hearts, they maintain adherence to these other messages. And so what Paul is saying here is like, here is the message. Have you really responded to it in faith? Uh-huh. And this "if" that he puts there is the assumption that they have. It's not a hypothetical. It's not a word of doubt in this particular situation. It is an assumption. Paul is assuming that they have indeed responded to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ through faith, that they have been placed on the foundation of Christ, and they are steadfast and sure in this hope that they have heard about in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this isn't a condition of salvation. This isn't a condition of maintaining or the possibility of losing. This is just Paul stating an assumption. I'm making an assumption. I have delivered the good news, this good news of the reconciling work of Jesus Christ that is presenting you holy and blameless, and I'm assuming that you have coupled that hearing of the message with faith and that you are standing solidly on the foundation of Jesus Christ.
Joseph, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Again, the phone number, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob, we had this question from Bea, a longtime friend of ours who watches on YouTube every day. She says, in Matthew 5:48, when Jesus says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, he's telling the people to receive the gift of grace and righteousness through faith in him. Is that right?
Well, that is ultimately right. I mean, he was giving the standard of righteousness, and that standard of righteousness is perfection, and that perfection is the same perfection that God the Father has. And if you want to be right in God's sight, then you have to attain that. Well, what Jesus is basically saying to us is that's an impossibility. No one will be declared righteous in the sight of God through obedience to the law. No one will be made perfect through human effort. Paul addresses that in Galatians 3. Why are you trying to perfect yourself through human effort? That was the question that he posed to the Galatians. And they should have responded, well, that's a foolish thing for us to try to do because we can't make that happen. So if we're going to be made perfect, then God's going to have to do that work. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us that God has done. So we go back to the letter of Hebrews. We look at chapter 10. This is all about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews makes some very stark contrast between the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus and the ongoing sacrificial system of the old covenant. And he comes and he says, now here's why we need to stick with the sacrifice of Jesus. This is why we shouldn't go back to the sacrificial system, because the sacrifice of Jesus has done several things for us. First, in verse 10, it says, and by that will we have been sanctified or made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. It says, every priest stands daily in his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But the blood of Jesus, that's what it did. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for the time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all times those who are the holy ones. So we have been made holy through the blood of Jesus Christ, which means God has delivered us to the goal that he set for us. If we are going to have God's presence with us, then we had to be made holy. Well, what did God do? He made us holy so that the Holy One could come and take up residence. So that was the goal. We've been delivered to that goal. That's perfection for you and for me. So we have been made perfect. So that command in Matthew 5:48 has been fulfilled through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can say that God has perfected us through the blood of Jesus Christ and the fact that he has made us holy, set us apart for his Spirit to come and take up residence in us.
Bob, I get the impression that you really enjoy teaching about grace, and I know you and Andrew are going to just have a ball in October.
Well, we are. It's going to be so much fun. Andrew and I have spoken at conferences together. We've done conferences together. Well, this will be the first time that we, as a ministry, Basic Gospel and the Grace Message, that we're coming together, joining forces to bring this about. So we're going to talk about what it means to be united in Christ, what that means to be in union with the Spirit, and how that affects us on a day-to-day basis. We're going to talk about all that God had to do to bring that about, and that's the pouring out of his grace on us in the person of Jesus Christ, and we're going to talk about what that means as far as the body is concerned, the fact that we are united one to another, that we truly are born again into a family of believers, and there is a deep spiritual connection that exists between everyone who names the name of Jesus. So that's what this particular conference is all about. It starts on a Friday. It ends on a Sunday. We're just going to have a great time of celebration, of joy, of growing together in the grace of God and experiencing in a very tangible way the reality of God's love as we connect and unite one with another at this conference.
We usually celebrate the Lord's Supper at the end of our conferences, and I'm sure we'll do that this time. So I want to encourage all of those of you who are going to be participating and traveling in, or if you live here, going to be participating in this particular conference, stay for it, because it is just a wonderful ceremony and celebration of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what it means to each one of us. So I encourage you, stay and stay to the end, and then we can stand around and talk for a while as
yes,
well.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, yes, indeed.
A great, great time. So all the information, again, available at basicgospel.net/united. Again, basicgospel.net/united. Well, Bob, another YouTube viewer. This is from Lois, and the question is, how can I explain to my friend that Jesus is God in the flesh?
Well, the first thing I want to do, Lois, is offer you a resource. It's a devotional guide that we put together earlier this year, or maybe at the end of last year, and it's 30 devotionals that take a look at Jesus Christ, and we examine all of the passages in the New Testament that proclaim the fact that he is God in the flesh. We look at the claims that he made about himself. We look at a couple of Old Testament passages that underscore this truth, and then we look at some of the passages that the apostles shared in their letters that talk about this as well. One, for example, is in the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11, it talks about the grace of God appearing to all men, bringing salvation to all, the grace of God teaching us to say no to worldly passions, teaching us to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation while we wait for the blessed appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Paul was very clear in his letter to Titus that he believed that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. We also see in John chapter 1, the Word was with God in the beginning. The Word was God, and then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus has always existed. He was always in the beginning with God. And then at a certain point in time, we know it 2,000 years ago, he inhabited a body that his Father had prepared for him. So he became flesh and blood, and he dwelt among us. So John 1:1 and John 1:14 are two tremendous passages. The book of Colossians 1, verses 15 through 19, talk about the deity of Christ Jesus. Again, there was some heretical teaching there in Colossae that said that Jesus wasn't God. He was a distant emanation of God the Father, and so he could house himself in flesh. But Paul just cut right through that and said, absolutely not. Yeah. Jesus is the visible image of God the Father himself. The writer of Hebrews says exactly the same thing in his letter right out of the chute in the first three verses. So there are some passages that you can look at. And also, like I said, we would love to send you this devotional, a 30-day devotional that takes a look at all of these passages. This would be a great resource for you to share with your friends.
Absolutely. Well, we're just about out of time for this edition, everybody. Thanks for being with us, and thanks to all of you, as I said before, who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. It's because of you that we're here every day, every weekday, proclaiming the grace of the Lord God. And if you're new to Basic Gospel, well, it's an easy thing to join our longer-term friends in supporting Basic Gospel. You can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net and help to ensure that this message of grace and the Lord Jesus remains available on the air and online. Again, you can donate at basicgospel.net. Also, the listener line is open around the clock for those of you who can't make the call during the live broadcast. And if you have questions about a Bible passage or about the Christian life in general, well, leave a voicemail for us at 844-322-2742, and we'll discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. Again, the That number, 844-322-2742. And while you're online at basicgospel.net, scroll to the bottom of the page. Be sure to subscribe to our daily devotional. You'll be blessed every morning when you check your email inbox and see that encouraging message from Bob Christopher. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join Bob and Andrew and me tomorrow on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.